The question was asked, how much does a person really have to work? What does it mean that once a person has a certain level of parnosa or income, they should be doing other things? What other things should they be doing? So the concept we discussed earlier this week stems from a Gemara in Moed Katan. The Gemara in Moed Katan discusses a person who went on a trip and comes back on Chol HaMoed. Technically, you're not supposed to take a shave or a haircut on Chol HaMoed, but if you had extenuating circumstances, then you may. So the Gemara says, okay, but a trip isn't extenuating circumstances. The Gemara says, right, but if he had to go out for his parnasa, so then that's extenuating circumstances. He had to go. He came back on Chol HaMoed, but he had extenuating circumstances. We'll add a caveat here. There is the understanding of that Gemara, which the Gra goes with halachically, that the Gemara was talking about a guy who went from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz Laretz. And the Gemara is saying, what did he do leave Israel for? The Gemara says he had to go for parnasa reasons. So that's, according to the Gra, this is one of the sources for the discussion about leaving Israel for the need of a business deal or something like that. But coming back to the main understanding of the Gemara, the way the Shulchan Aruch understands it, he goes with the Rishonim, that's the way they understand it. The Gemara is discussing a guy who left and comes back on Chol HaMoed. He wasn't home for Yom Tov, and now we ask halachically, how do we view his trip? Do we view it as extenuating circumstances that will permit him to take a shave and a haircut on Chol HaMoed? So it says, well, if he needed it because he didn't have food at home, he was all out of money, so then obviously that's extenuating circumstances. If he was well off, and he didn't need that extra money, so then obviously not. We're talking about something in between. That's the discussion of the Braisa. Something in between, so then we can consider that as a need, even though he had enough. It's not like he would have been hungry without it. And that's where the discussion begins in halacha. How much is a person supposed to work? Meaning, we have mitzvos we're supposed to perform, and you can learn, like you're learning now, you could learn 80% of the day or 70% of the day. You could learn a large part of the day. So by what excuse do we say, I'm not learning, I got to work? Wait, how much do you have to work? So yes, you do. You have to stop your learning in order to work. And if you don't stop your learning, then people end up hungry and then they end up with problems. And if a person doesn't prepare for work, then very often he also ends up with problems. You have people who are good at business. You have people who can do things that don't require a degree. But most of the world today, the way they can make a decent living is by getting a decent education. That's the way most of the world works. And for most of the world, if they don't get that education, then they end up working for minimum wage and they work very hard, very long hours, and still don't make ends meet. So it's legitimate that a person has to take time off of learning Torah to learn and then to make money. But how much money? So you ask a person who has a Corvette and he'll say, you're kidding me? It's going to be out of style in a year. I need another one next year. If I don't work, how am I going to afford that? Every person has their perspective on why they always have to keep working. So the halacha doesn't work that way. The halacha says, okay, look at the norm in your generation. And it goes by generation. Because the way we're living today is better than the wealthiest people in the days of the Gemara. No one could have what we have today. Running water in their house, come on. You at least had to go get a servant to fetch it. You turn on the heat just like that. So many changes of clothing. You know, we have so many colors. Such hygiene. You know, a washing machine. We have so many servants around the house. They had servants. We don't have servants. But we got a lot better than servants. We don't have the inconvenience and the theft of servants. And we do have all the benefits. So we judge it by our generation. What's the average person, average life like? And you could even be comfortable. But to work and take time off and focus on being wealthy or living a lifestyle that's beyond comfort, average, and you could say average plus a little bit. So that, Chazal said, you really should be taking the time to do mitzvos. That's a waste of time. A person can say, I'm not built for it. A person can say, you know, if I study, I lose focus. I can study an hour a day. I can study 2 hours a day. So first of all, every person has to learn. That's not an excuse. Even if you're making money and you're funding 15 yeshivas, you still have to learn. Every person has to learn Torah. It's the source of life. And if you want to know how to live, you have to learn. And if you learn, you become a better person and your life is a better life. And every person always has to learn. You always have time in your day. You always have to learn. There's no excuse. Every person has to learn. But there are people who will not be able to learn more than a certain amount. Most people will. Meaning we can't come up with this cop-out. Every person might say, I can't. You know, I came once to Rav Pesin Zatzal with a list of Rishonim, Achronim, different commentaries that say it's important to work. And I had a very clear direction. I was on my way to college. So I was going to his class at 5 o'clock in the morning. I was going to his class at 9 o'clock at night and continuing studying with him till 12 o'clock every night. But the rest of the time, I wanted to go to college, right? I was headed out. I wasn't sure I was going to stay religious, but I for sure was headed to college, right? That was a given. So I came to him with this list of commentaries, and I said, you know, I have so many sources that it's legitimate to go and get a degree and support your family and not learn Torah more than an hour or two a day. So he looked at me, and the way Rav Pesin would always answer questions, you know, was with a one-liner. Like, so count how many words he said. He said, "Who says for you?" And turned around and walked out of the room. Didn't say more than that. Like, oh yeah, there are those opinions, and who says you can go with that opinion? Meaning, who says you don't have to teach Torah? Ah, you're telling me there's a source for that it's legitimate that people make a living and people have to make a living? Yeah, that's true. But does that mean that's right for you? I think that there are many people who are very talented and can learn and teach and develop the whole world through their Torah. Look, I didn't imagine I'd ever be online. Almost 20,000 classes today. Think about that. That's an impact. And I didn't dream of this. I wasn't sure I was going to be religious. Okay, not so long ago, TorahForMe.com. I'm saying that's look. You can make and you have people who can make big waves in the world. We're out of time, but this is a starting point.